This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Friday, June 24th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Our producer is Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this very special feast day. It's good to be with you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Bringing Christ to the world through the media. That's what we do here at Relevant Radio, especially on great feast days like today, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And remember that tomorrow we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. Our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, yesterday, the Supreme Court struck down a New York gun law that overly restricted access to concealed carry permits, but it did not release the Dobbs decision that could overturn Roe v. Wade. The High Court will issue opinions again today at 10 a.m. Eastern, and so we continue to wait and see with great anticipation. Now, abortion activists protested outside the home of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh again on Wednesday, even though federal law prohibits such acts of intimidation, and that's really what it is, intimidation. Catholic attorney and Morning Air contributor Mary Helen Fiorito was with us recently, and she talked about why the Biden administration and the attorney general have not gone after these pro-abortion terrorists.
Right. Well, I think it's because they have an ideological bias towards, you know, in favor of people who support legal abortion. I mean, look, you had an assassination attempt against a sitting Supreme Court justice. And when, the picketing and the, you know, harassing of the home, you know, the neighborhoods around where the justices live and the walking back and forth in front of their home with violent, you know, signs with violent slogans on them. And Jen Psaki, the former House spokesperson, was asked, you know, what the administration's position on that. And she said something like, you know, as long as the protest is peaceful, then we don't object to it, even though there's a federal statute that prohibits that very kind of behavior against judges or against juries who are currently sitting on a case. So there are laws that are in place to protect both people's right to worship, people's right to free association at a pregnancy center or elsewhere. And certainly justices have a right to be safe within their own homes. But yet the administration doesn't seem to want to be doing too much about it. And the only reason I can think of is that they are ideologically opposed to what pro-life pregnancy centers do.
And the reality is that there's been over 60 attacks on churches and pregnancy centers since the leak. I want to bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, lots of anticipation today. What are some of the big stories in the headlines on this Friday morning?
Well, John, I think the Supreme Court in waiting for decisions right there. Roe v. Wade is one that could be announced today. Not necessarily, though. The court will be announcing some decisions after 9 Central Time this morning, so we will be waiting and watching for that in terms of if they did do something with Roe v. Wade. If they overturned it, that would mean instantly in several states abortion would be illegal. Eventually, in about half the states it would still be legal, including when you see protests about this on TV, if it were to be overturned, most of those states will still have legal abortion. Most of the Northeast, including New York and New England, Illinois, Minnesota, California, most of the spots it will be illegal include other parts of the Midwest and the South. And so the work to save babies will still be more concentrated in different states, but we'll still need to go on, John.
And obviously, this would be an answer to many prayers, many memoraries, hundreds of millions of memoraries that we've been praying here at Relevant Radio over the years.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so we watch and wait, and we'll have full coverage when and if that happens, if not today, possibly next week, most likely. And so there's that. Also, the court struck down a New York gun control law that would prohibit people from concealing and carrying a handgun without proving they had a direct need to defend themselves from a specific threat. And that was a 6-3 decision as well. That comes at the same time the Senate, for the first time in 29 years, passed some gun control legislation that will be most likely passed in the House that would increase background checks for those under 21 and give money to states to do more red flag checking.
A lot of news happening, and in the world of sports, Stanley Cup finals, the Colorado Avalanche are one win away from winning Lord Stanley's Cup. The Avalanche lead the two-time defending champion Tampa Bay Lightning 3-1. Game 5 is in Colorado tonight. Glenn, the Stanley Cup, the cup will be in the house, in the building tonight.
I tell you, that is so fun to see that thing up close and personal. I've had the chance to do that before. Actually, my wife's uncle has a nephew by marriage Nick Leddy, who was in the playoffs, and he was a Stanley Cup winner one year. So they got to tool around a lake in Minnesota with the cup. Every team member on a winning team gets to take the cup wherever they want for a whole day sometime during the off season, and that cup has been in a lot of interesting spots, but it's the best trophy in all of sports, they say, John.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Back in my Detroit days, when the Red Wings were winning back-to-back titles in the 90s, I actually got to drink out of the cup and hoist the cup on camera, and wow, it was just an incredible amount of fun.
How heavy is that thing?
Oh, it's about 30 pounds. It's actually kind of heavy. I remember lifting that thing up. I mean, it is an impressive piece of trophy. It is really really a neat tradition. As always, thanks so much, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing, John.
First things first, we begin this very morning in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for so many blessings, always through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Matthew 11:29. Jesus the Lord says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us his humble, sacred heart, full of love and the fountain of every blessing. Jesus invites all those who are burdened to take the yoke of obedience to his word, under which we will find rest. At the end of the day, our Lord Jesus wants us to love him with all of our heart. That's what it's all about. We pray with great confidence on this feast day. Sacred Heart of Jesus, we trust in you. Our number, again, if you want to be part of our conversation, 888-914-9149. Now, as we've been talking about all of this month of June, this is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and today the Catholic Church celebrates the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Lord, in his infinite mercy and love, seeks to liberate each one of us from chains that binds us to our everyday lives. Joining us now live is Morning Air regular contributor Emily Jaminet to talk about how we can open our hearts and welcome Jesus into our life as King, Savior, and friend. Emily Jaminet is a Catholic author, speaker, radio personality, wife, podcaster, the mother of 7 children. She's also the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. Her most recent award-winning book is titled Secrets of the Sacred Heart, 12 Ways to Claim Jesus' Promises in Your Life. Good morning, Emily. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is such a joy to be with you, especially on this big feast day of the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Good morning. I am so excited to be here with you on this morning. And as we listen to the news and as we listen to the scriptures, it only makes sense when we place our complete trust in Jesus. We make him our refuge, which he actually has invited us to do so. So I really want to say, again, as we've been talking recently, you know, June is for Jesus. This feast day is for us because Jesus wants us to worship and love his heart and experience the transformation he desires to offer us.
On this special feast day, can you give us a real brief synopsis of how this devotion to the Sacred Heart began when our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque way back in 1673?
It's such a fascinating story, and I invite all of your listeners to really investigate yourself. But in 1673, a visitation sister, a nun, was impacted by the love of Christ through Jesus appearing to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and speaking about the love that contains in his heart. Now, what's special about the image of the Sacred Heart and how he appeared is his heart was outside of his body, and he talked about how he desired so much to spread this love, but so often he's received with indifference, coldness, and ingratitude. He even requested this particular feast day that we're celebrating today, and we can hear much of his words, what he called us to, this greater love, through the diary of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. I wrote about it in Secrets of the Sacred Heart, through the 12 Promises, but I'd love to pass on a particular quote, if we have a minute, John, about what he said about this particular feast day.
Of course.
Awesome. All right. Jesus said, "I ask of you that the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi be set apart for a special feast day to honor my heart by going to Mass on that day and making reparation to it by a solemn act, in order to make amends for the indignities which I've received during the time that has been exposed and honored on altars. I promise that my heart shall be expand itself to shed an abundance of the influence of the divine love upon those who shall honor it and cause it to be honored." So in summary, he's inviting us to go to Mass on this feast day. He's inviting us to enter more deeply into this devotion given to us in 1670. But I believe, like many, this is the devotion for end times. And it is the times in which we live. Do we need all a spiritual heart transplant?
Well, how can we open wide our hearts to this incredible love of our Lord Jesus Christ on this day, on this solemnity?
Well, first and foremost, I invite each one of your listeners to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to fill your heart with his love, to, you know, have an image of the Sacred Heart in your home. At one point, every Catholic had an image of the Sacred Heart in their home. And this image serves as a holy reminder of what love looks like. As you opened with the scripture that Jesus tells us that his heart is meek and humble. And that image reminds us of what true love looks like. And lastly, by going to Mass and offering up our daily works, joys, sorrows, busyness, you know, we can be a little vessel that participates in this beautiful movement of acts of reparation. So I absolutely can't say enough about how this devotion has impacted my own personal life as a busy wife, mom, you know, worker in the kingdom of God. And I've seen it lived out in so many as well.
Emily, there is so much happening in this world. Every day there's news that is just sometimes overwhelming. Many of us feel burdened by what's going on. Why should we allow our Lord Jesus to enter in and for us to really discover the kind of heart that Jesus has and do the best we can to try to follow him?
Because he's invited it, and he's even requested this particular devotion from, as you mentioned, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. We have the 12 promises, which are like a roadmap. They guide us to an authentic faith. We cannot be, you know, misled when we're striving to live out a deeply sacramental Catholic faith where our devotion to the Sacred Heart is best expressed, of course, through the Holy Eucharist, as they are pointing always to Jesus. They are one. They are Jesus. But the truth is this world is going to deceive us if this is where we place our trust. If this is, as you mentioned, the news is not always the good news of the gospel. And so what we need to do is keep our eyes on Jesus and be willing to be transformed from the inside out.
Well, Emily, on this special feast day, on this solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I know you have an invitation for our listeners, for our Relevant Radio family this morning. Can you share that invitation?
Well, I want to personally invite every one of our listeners here to run to the refuge of the Heart of Jesus, to claim the promises, to be willing to allow your heart to go from a place of stone, like we read in Ezekiel, to a place of flesh, living flesh, and to never allow the darkness to steal your peace, your joy, your love, and that the kingdom goes forth. And that's what this devotion does. It strengthens us in our journey. And I will be at Mass this evening at 7 p.m. for the Great Solemnity, and I will be praying for each one of you and our listeners. And I hope that your listeners also are able to attend Mass on this beautiful day.
We're also called to do acts of reparation on this day. What can we do in terms of reparation?
You know, reparation's kind of a little bit of an intimidating word. I was just explaining it to my daughter the other day on the way to swim. But I was telling her that doing acts of reparation, oftentimes we still have to do the heavy lifting of life, right? If it's work, if it's, you know, my daughter heading off to swim, if it's me just caring for my large family. But if we are willing to offer it to Jesus through that powerful morning offering, offering up as little as our thoughts, our joys, our works, our sorrows of the day, and we give it to Jesus, we get to be co-workers. We get to be participants in this transformation that the world so needs, because we are a vessel of Him being able to work through us. So the truth is, you're still going to have heavy lifting. Why not make everything an act of reparation, as we love Jesus and we want the kingdom of God to continue to spread?
Emily, our Lord Jesus shared many promises with St. Margaret Mary Alacoque for those who follow this devotion to the Sacred Heart, including graces in our state of life and peace in our home. What of those promises really touch your heart the most?
Well, I love that you mentioned the first. You know, I will give them all the graces necessary for their state in life. If you're just pouring your coffee and you're feeling a little burdened, know that Jesus is there with you in your every breath, your every moment. And this devotion is tried and true. I like to say it provides spiritual stability. But my favorite promise, I think, would be the one that, you know, my entire life revolves around, is where he says, "I will bless every place in which the image of my heart is exposed and honored." So we're invited to put those images in our home to serve as holy stop signs, to remind us that He's always with us in the messiness of life. And then this lifelong devotion of honoring His heart so that our hearts are impacted. And as you know, John, I've been with you a few times this month talking about the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. So that's an official practice that from 1907, where the church approved for us to have that solemnity of that love, that covenant with the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, where we give our life to Him and our entire family, our entire everything. And that enthronement lives out promoting the kingdom of God right in our life. So I love them all, but that's the one that has really provided my life such direction.
Well, Emily, again, as a reminder, you can grow closer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus today on this solemnity and learn much more about enthronement to the Sacred Heart. Just visit welcomehisheart.com. welcomehisheart.com. Emily, it's such a blessing to be with you. We could talk for a whole hour easily about this, but obviously time does not permit. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, and you'll be in my prayers throughout the rest of the day, and may we all strive to love the way that Jesus loves us.
Amen. Emily Jaminet, the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. David Carollo, the executive director of the World Apostolate of Fatima, will explain First Saturday devotions to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the feast that we celebrate tomorrow. So stay with us. There's much more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now, 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
I'm on top of the world, eh? I'm on top of the world, eh? Waiting on this for a while now. Paying my dues to the dirt.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Friday morning, the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, tomorrow we celebrate the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's not a coincidence because the hearts of Jesus and Mary are united like one heartbeat. One of the most important aspects of the Fatima message was Our Lady's request for the first Saturday devotion. In July of 1917, in fact, on July 13th of that year at the apparitions at Fatima, Our Lady said to the three children, "You have seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. To save them, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. I shall come to ask for the communion of reparation on the first Saturdays." I believe that this message of Our Lady of Fatima is more relevant today than ever before for our country and for the entire world. Joining us live with much more on devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is David Carolla, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA and Our Lady's Blue Army. Good morning, David. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Great to be with you once again on this big feast day.
Yeah, good morning, John. Yeah, always great to be with you. And yes, it is a big feast day, you're right. And two big feast days together, as you've mentioned.
Your thoughts on the significance of today's Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is followed by tomorrow's Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Again, it's not a coincidence that these two feasts are side by side.
Yeah, they truly are inseparable. There's no doubt about that. That's how, I mean, all of the devotion throughout the church obviously puts these together for that very reason, because you cannot separate the two, you know, the heart of Jesus and Mary. You know, how many times is that referred to, that it's the hearts of Jesus and Mary. It's not hers, it's not his. It's one, like you say, one beating heart together, and that's really what we what we have to understand. You know, you don't have devotion to Our Lady without devotion to our Lord. This is what it's all about. She brings us to Him. She brings us to God. And the first Saturdays, but you see how our Lord was so strong in wanting this the devotion to this, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Is the key to that is reparation. And reparation is, of course, the foundation of the entire Fatima message. Reparation for sin. You know, see, you mentioned the July 13th apparition. You mentioned the vision of hell. You've seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. Well, that's what it's all about. You make reparation for sin for yourself, but for others. And that's really why these are so tied together.
Can you talk about those promises that Our Lady made to Lucia in 1917 about the first five Saturday devotion for this reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary?
Yeah. Well, of course, the big promise is the grace of salvation. Okay, now it doesn't mean you have to always cooperate with grace, but the grace will be there for you as now. Wow, what a promise! Eternal life, yeah, I'll take that. It's pretty good, and I think that's what we look for. But you make these devotions, you make these acts of reparation to that end. But again, like you said, you know, in the July apparition, you've seen the souls of poor sinners. She's asking for prayers for others to help people. You need to pray. We need to pray to bring about the salvation of others, to merit the grace for them, to come forward and be, you know, and make the right choices. You know, this is the problem. You know, there's no one in hell who didn't choose to be there. Let's be realistic. Actions have consequences. But we have to pray for people to have the grace to understand that, ourselves primarily. None of us merit heaven, let's be realistic. And we have to first pray for the grace of salvation for ourselves. Then you have to work for others, your loved ones. And you're not so loved ones. I think that's the thing. When you live a life of charity, as the Fatima children did, and what we're asked to do by Our Lady at Fatima is to, you know, not to, you know, maybe turn off the news sometimes. Maybe walk away from family arguments and look at the fact that you are still responsible to help those individuals that might be hurting you at this time to come about. And the result is you'll have a better society anyway. So it even has temporal effects, beautiful temporal effects. But we have to understand that we have to get into the heart of Mary. You know, she brought this new devotion of the Immaculate Heart. This is the one thing about Fatima. And the idea is we need to become like Mary. Our hearts need to become like hers, and their hearts of charity. That's why she came to Fatima. That's why she appears places. That's why she brings a message of repentance and just prayer and you know, it's a message of hope for the world. And we have to follow that, and we have to get into her heart and imitate that.
And I believe that this message of Fatima, as I said at the beginning, it's more relevant today than ever before. I mean, obviously, there's been, many events in the last 100-plus years since Our Lady appeared. But right now, at this point in our country's history, we need our Lord Jesus, and that's what she does. She points us to him every day. And I believe that this message is more relevant than ever before.
Well, it truly is. Because look at the blasphemies that are out there. Think of the five first Saturdays, and why five first Saturdays? It's the five blasphemies, you know, the blasphemies against the Immaculate Heart, or excuse me, the Immaculate Conception, the blasphemies against her virginity, the blasphemies against her divine maternity, refusing to accept her as the mother of all men, instilling indifference, scorn, even hatred towards her Immaculate Heart in the hearts of children. And direct insults in her sacred images, now against her sacred images. Now, think about these things that are just so prevalent. You know, and if you don't respect her, you're not respecting God either. You're not respecting, that's why this, if you're not respecting the Immaculate Heart of Mary, you're not respecting the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that's why, again, they're so tied together. And you know, we have to understand, this is why we have to get into a mindset of reparation. You know, and it's so simple. Well, what if she asks? You know, you go to confession, receive Holy Communion, pray five decades of the Rosary, and then meditating for 15 minutes on the mysteries of the Rosary. She really says, and keep me company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. Again, you're getting into the heart of Mary. And that's really what this is all about. This is to form you into someone who thinks like her, the greatest of all saints, right? That's why God wants to bring us there.
Absolutely. And we can protect our families by enthroning the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts in our very homes. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know that is part of your ministry.
It is. The home enthronement, that's a big part of what we do, and I think that it's very important. And if you come to our website, bluearmy.com, there's a whole section on home enthronement, and it's protecting your family by enthroning to the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts. And again, it's to both. I mean, it truly is. And the home enthronement is a beautiful program, and we have great resources on that, too. Again, bluearmy.com, it's all there, or we'll help in any way we can. But this is the way, because this is our domestic church, you know, John. That's where we're at, and it always has been. You know, we Catholics came to realize, or to think for many years, and we had these beautiful edifices. We had, you know, I mean, tremendous number of beautiful churches in so many dioceses around the world, and that's beautiful. But the true church is at home. The true church begins at home. And if you don't, you know, you can see even in schools, you can see the families where the children are formed at home before they come into a school situation or such, because that's what it's all about. And so you sanctify the family first, and then the church benefits by that. That's what we have to realize. So it does all start. The whole Fatima message is about the small little cell groups that come together and pray. You know, this is the group. The main group, your family, the family rosary, all of these things the devotions, and a home enthronement is just it's a beautiful program, and I really really would recommend people come to us, and we'd be more than happy to share that anywhere they are.
You know, you talk about blasphemies against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Can you imagine how our Blessed Mother must feel with all these attacks on Catholic churches, statues toppled over of the Blessed Mother, tabernacles being stolen and damaged, the things that have been going on just in the last couple of months since the Supreme Court leak. Just another reminder of why we need to look to Mary, to our Blessed Mother, to help us during these times.
Well, I think you mentioned the story about the desecrations in the churches, and there was a very well-known incident nationally that happened in Brooklyn, New York, if you recall, and this absolutely spectacular tabernacle, which was priceless, was stolen out of the church. That's true, and that was a crime, and that was horrible. But what they failed to report to a great degree is while they stole that tabernacle, they just dispersed the Eucharist all over the floor. They desecrated the Blessed Sacrament. So the material loss of that tabernacle, as tragic as that was, is nothing compared to the desecration of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament that was part of that act of stealing that tabernacle. You know, and see, you go back to what is the essence of our faith, and it is, of course, the belief in the Eucharist. And we that's why this home enthronement and these other things bring people to an understanding, you know, the sanctification of your lives through holiness that you learn in a home through prayer and appreciation for things such as the Blessed Sacrament and for our faith in general.
Again, the World Apostolate of Fatima has created a new accessible way to help you fulfill Our Lady's requests for First Saturday devotion. Can you talk about that Great Promise Passport?
Yes, and that's a big thing. We have the Great Promise Passport, so please come to our website. And as these months go on, you can sign up, and it's really lined up in the tradition of the Camino to go to Compostela. The Great Promise Passport allows you to mark and track your progress along for the 5 months, and then fulfill it. Sign up, become part of this, and then we'll walk you through this very well. And of course, you'll be entered into picking some names for some prizes too, because we're not without that. We have to bring that forward. But the idea is five, but never think that you stop at five. You do five first Saturdays as a start. Okay, merit that for yourself, and now say, okay, now I'm going to take care of my spouse, my child, my parent, my friend, my enemy, you know, all these people that you want to help. Continue it. Don't make it five first Saturdays. That's the obligation. That's the requirement. And let's start with that, most certainly. But continue. This has to be that every first Saturday, I am going to be part of this. And this passport is beautiful. You download the passport, you fulfill the first Saturday requirements. You know, you take a selfie of yourself with the statue of the Blessed Virgin, send it in, and all the information is on there. You know, but the idea is to get you to participate, to get people to participate and become part of this great movement, the first Saturday's devotion, which I truly believe, John, when enough people fulfill the first Saturday's devotion, that is the unfulfilled part of the message of Fatima, and then I think we will see the triumph of the Immaculate Heart come to be. When enough people finally fulfill this, you'll see that triumph of the Immaculate Heart. Remember, what's going on in this world today is a product of evil. It's a product of us being away from God. And evil is having its day. Let's be realistic. We know that. Look out there. Evil is having its day, but remember, it's always darkest right before the dawn. And I truly believe that because of that, we are at a point where we're going to see this great explosion of grace that's going to come forward eventually. And hopefully in our time, I believe it will be in our time. Keep in mind, in the last 100 years, in the time since Fatima, there have been more people martyred for the faith, thanks to the isms of the 20th century primarily, and what's coming into this century. But people more people have been martyred for the faith in that time than in all of the history of Christianity prior to that. You know, and the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. And I really believe this and our devotions, this dry martyrdom that so many people live in their lives, the difficulties, is going to bring about this explosion of grace. And then the work really starts for us to really re-evangelize the world. I truly believe that. And I think we're getting close. I really do. I think we need to be very, 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 very astute, but not pessimistic. Okay, it's bad out there. Let's pray. Let's overcome this world because we've done it. You know, Christianity has survived so many isms in the past 2,000 years. Let's be realistic, and it will survive where we are today. There's no doubt about it.
Less than a minute to go. How can we put Our Lady's peace plan, Our Lady of Fatima's peace plan from heaven into practice?
Yeah. Well, John, we ask people to sign the Blue Army Pledge, the pledge that was developed 75 years ago when our founder sat with Sister Lucia and put this together, to pray the rosary, to be devoted to the brown scapular, to live according to your state in life, morality according to your state in life. This is simple Catholicism. Fatima is nothing more than a reiteration of the Gospels, and I think we just have to get back to living that way, and I guarantee we will see that new world on the horizon.
Let us begin. Thanks so much, David. I really appreciate you being with us.
Always good, John.
Many blessings to you. David Carolla, the Executive Director of the World Apostolate of Fatima USA and Our Lady's Blue Army. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Bishop Daniel Muggenberg will look ahead to this Sunday's gospel. Stay with us. The Word of God is straight ahead as Morning Air continues.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air on another Friday dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I'm John Morales. It's good to be with you, and now it's time to look ahead to this Sunday's gospel. Always keep in mind that the Word of God in the Gospels, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, is powerful. When the Gospel, the Book Eternal, is proclaimed, Christ is passing by. Jesus is speaking to you. So listen carefully, folks, as Bishop Daniel Muggenberg, Bishop of Reno, Nevada, shares his weekly reflection on this Sunday's Gospel with our very own Glenn Leverance.
Our Gospel reading for this 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time comes from Luke chapter 9. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But they would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my Father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." Time now for a look at that gospel reading for this Sunday, the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, out of Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Bishop Daniel Muggenberg joins us from the Diocese of Reno, Nevada. Always great to have you along, Bishop Muggenberg.
And great to be here, Glenn.
So many times we say, wow, this is a really rich and deep reading, but it certainly is kind of a turning point in our Lord's journey toward Jerusalem here.
Very much so. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9:51 is a very pivotal verse. This is the verse in which Jesus begins his 10-chapter journey to Jerusalem. And this is not just a geographical journey of Jesus. This is really a spiritual journey of discipleship. And during these 10 chapters, Jesus will teach us the most important insights for what it means for us to follow him on his way. And we need to remember that when we're told Jesus goes on his way to Jerusalem, that early Christians were first known as followers of the way. And so we're going to join Jesus now, and we're going to receive these great insights.
The Samaritans and Jews, not necessarily good buddies, and we've got stories of Samaritans lifted up as examples of maybe doing a little better job at caring for their fellow man than Jews, but not necessarily in this particular passage, and those disciples and friends of Jesus ready to exact perhaps a little revenge on a Samaritan village.
That's true. You know, as Jesus begins his journey to Jerusalem, we see this whole series of cautions that Jesus is giving. And they really are meant to be cautions, where Jesus is correcting disciples who maybe are following him or responding to him out of a misguided, you know, desire. And he's cautioning them to purify their discipleship, to recognize the things that will actually prevent them or hold them back from being able to follow him completely to Jerusalem, and to be prepared to let go of those things if they're going to hold them back from following Jesus. And the very first thing that we find that Jesus cautions the disciples on is the experience of anger, revenge, and vengeance. And that's what happens when the Samaritan village rejects Jesus and his disciples because they're going to Jerusalem, and the disciples get upset, and they want to stop their journey for the sake of exacting revenge. Now, that's very important for us because, you know, all of us experience offenses in our lives, and sometimes we can find ourselves reacting, you know, with that same kind of anger or that, you know, righteous desire for vengeance in some way. And we need to hear the words of Jesus saying, if we're going to do that, then anger is going to become an anchor that holds us back from following him. So the New Testament is full of passages about not letting ourselves give in to that destructive force of anger and vengeance. And Jesus is cautioning his disciples that that will hold them back on their journey as well.
Along the journey, our friends here are running into a variety of characters, some interested to immediately follow Jesus. Others say, well, wait just a sec, I'll be right there.
Yeah, we see these next three interactions with very clear cautions of discipleship or pitfalls of discipleship, I might say. And the first one deals with the need for comfort and security. You know, even today we have people who want to follow Jesus because they believe in the gospel of health and wealth, that following Jesus will make our lives easier. Following Jesus will increase our material blessings. And Jesus is telling us in this passage that following him means that we're going to be ready to pick up our cross, that we're going to accept and embrace sacrifice for the sake of being his disciple, that it may actually bring us less security in the eyes of the world to be a Christian. And it may even call us to let go of our comforts in order to follow Jesus in our love of God and neighbor. And if we're not prepared to do that, then we're not going to be able to follow him when we are called to embrace that sacrifice of the cross in a personal way. So Jesus is cautioning people to follow him aware of the fact that it will involve sacrifice. And if they're not willing to let go of their security or their comfort, that they probably are going to falter along the way. And they need to be prepared in advance to make that sacrifice for the sake of staying with him in his way to Jerusalem.
Also, in terms of the disciples kind of wanting to do their Christian work their way, and it's good for us to realize as we try to do that today in our lives that sometimes there will be difficulties. And if we signed up to do some good work and we assumed it would be a certain way, sometimes we have to stretch a little bit.
I mean, the reality is that being a disciple means that we follow Jesus's lead. And, you know, Jesus is going to lead us in ways that may not make sense to us in the moment. But we're just called to be faithful, to take that next step with him, and to trust that he ultimately knows where he is leading us to have that confidence in his divine providence.
Now, the disciples wanted to kind of take it out on that Samaritan town, but if it were up to them, they wouldn't even have gone probably in that direction for starters. And what does this say about really the need to not be afraid to proclaim the good news to everyone?
Well, and the disciples will come around to that, as we see in the Acts of the Apostles, when they will actually go and proclaim the gospel to the Samaritans. And so the Samaritans will receive the gospel. But if they had responded with vengeance in this particular passage, then the Samaritans probably would not receive the gospel later. So sometimes it takes people a while to respond to the gospel. But the way in which we choose to act in a particular moment of rejection will oftentimes set the stage for their eventual positive response or for their enduring negative response. So in a real sense, we are responsible for how other people are receiving the gospel.
Bishop Ungerberg, is one of the bigger challenges, especially in the West and increasingly all over the world, but the competition for doing the work of the gospel up against the comfort and security that we come to know and love.
Yes, and that's why Jesus cautions that, you know, even the birds of the air have nests and foxes have lairs. But the Son of Man and anyone who follows the Son of Man may very well not even have a place to rest their head. So Jesus is challenging us to make following him our greatest priority in life and not our pursuit of personal comfort. He also goes on in the next two cautions to issue some very important teachings to us. The next person who comes up says, "I'll follow you, but let me go bury my father." Now, what's interesting is that no place in that passage are we told that the gentleman's father had died yet. And so it may very well have been a way in which that gentleman was wanting to follow Jesus as one of the lesser priorities of his life after all of his other obligations were fulfilled. And if we reduce our discipleship to what's left over in our life, we're not going to be a very good disciple because there will always be something more important to us than following Jesus. And especially when that involves sacrifice. So that's an important teaching as well.
Well, it certainly is. And, you know, just to caution people against a quick reading of that might seem very harsh. I can't bury the dead. I can't say goodbye to my family.
Well, and with that particular passage about saying goodbye, you know, to their mother and father, well, we do need to read it, not in the sense that Jesus is being rude, but in the sense that Jesus is wanting us to be very clear about our priorities. And he uses an image that is really, I think, instructive for us. And it's the image of when you put your hand to the plow, you are unfit for that work if you keep turning around and looking back. And where that image receives its real force is that people in the ancient world could only plow a straight line if they kept their vision fixated in front of them on a distant goal, a distant object, a distant destination. And as they went directly towards that, they were able to plow a straight furrow in the ground. But if they would look around in different directions, that furrow would become crooked and the field would end up being messed up. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. So if someone's turning around and looking behind them, they're not going to be able to plow in any decent way at all. They will be useless in that particular work. And the reality is that sometimes Christians can find ourselves looking back and dwelling on a pre-conversion experience of life, you know, perhaps situations that we experienced in a pre-conversion state, or sometimes married couples can find themselves beginning to daydream about what it was like before they were married, you know, and other relationships they had or something like that. That particular action of looking back while you're trying to move forward will actually end up impeding our ability to be a disciple in the moment. So Jesus is really cautioning us to keep our eyes fixated on him, on eternal life with him, and to not let anything deter us from that goal. And that's what will help us maintain a very straight path in our daily lives in the present.
Oh, life was so tough before the GPS and the tractor cab there, my goodness. great reflection. Thank you so much for that, Bishop Ungerberg. If you'd be so kind as to wrap us up this week with your blessing.
The Lord be with you. And may the blessing of Almighty God, who desires all of us to follow him on his journey, always give us that strength and courage to recognize the things that will hold us back and to freely let go of those for the sake of being with Jesus. We ask this in Christ's name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Bishop Ungerberg. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Today's story shared from Reddit by a listener in Minnesota. It's called The Best Game Ever. Growing up, I didn't realize how poor we were. My parents were amazing, though, at providing for us. We loved to watch baseball games, and I wanted to go to a game so badly that we could never afford it. To make up for it, my parents concocted a wonderful plan. One day while we were at school, my mom made up tickets to that night's game and made up some play money as well for us to spend. When we got home, we found that she had set up chairs in front of the TV and even numbered them. She proceeded to give us the tickets and the money, then sent us to go clean up before the game. Come game time, we lined up expectantly at the doorway. My dad, playing the usher, took our tickets and showed us how to get to our seats. After the game got underway, my parents went to the kitchen. They soon were back out with a tray of hot dogs, candy, and soda. Cries of "hot dogs, get your hot dogs" echoed throughout the living room. We got out the money my mom had made and bought whatever snacks we wanted. Best baseball game I've ever been to. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness."
Absolutely love the best game ever. Thanks again, as always, Glenn, for another wonderful story corner. Now, coming up next hour here on Morning Air, you're going to hear my conversation with our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone, who recently talked to us about the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart of Jesus as we honor our Lord today on this solemnity of the Sacred Heart. Sister Mary Teresa Batag will be with us to talk about throwing out the first pitch for the Milwaukee Brewers on the Ballpark Day of Faith, which is coming up this coming Sunday. Plus, Bishop Thomas Papraki, the hockey-playing holy goalie, will be with us to talk about the Stanley Cup Final and his book, Holy Goals for Body and Soul. Stay with us. We are just warming up this morning. There's much more to come next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.